Thank you, Steve Bertrand. It's 10:33, so a young man gets shot Sunday afternoon in the Englewood neighborhood, and 12 hours later, looting starts, and the next morning, it's late May, early June, all over again, or at least a version of it. It was shocking and saddening and maddening what we saw in Chicago on Monday morning. The mayor and the commander, the police chief, said that what we need to have is more stringent enforcement. They sort of threw some shade on Kim Fox's office, the state's attorney. Kim Fox had a press conference yesterday. We broadcast it live here on WGN Radio, and she said, you need to understand how this office works. She compared what she's been doing to what's been happening in that office since, say, back in 2016. And coincidentally with all of that, the Chicago Tribune yesterday had a front page story about the prosecution and conviction rates in her office compared to her predecessor. It was a pure coincidence, but that was very much on people's minds because as they saw what was happening Monday morning, they were hearkening back to what happened in late May. And they said, well, how did we do in prosecuting the cases against those criminals that were burning our city in late May? We asked Kim Fox to join us and respond a little bit to the article in the paper and also some conversations from her detractors here on WGN Radio, and she said yes. Kim, we appreciate you joining us today. Thanks for saying hi.
Of course. Good morning, and thanks for having me.
You know, I think the most important question is literally, what is going to happen to the people that were caught yesterday? Maybe not enough of them were caught, but what happens to the people that were seen going in and out of the stores yesterday?
Yeah, so the way this works is that once those people are caught, the police have one or two choices. They can charge people with misdemeanors or felonies. If they charge someone with a misdemeanor, they direct file that. They don't have to come through our office for charging approval. If it's a felony, they come through our office for what we call felony review, where we look at the videos, we talk to witnesses, we look at the totality of the case and make a decision whether to charge. And so in those cases, if the evidence supports that, we will file a charge. And I want to be clear, when we talk about May and June, the deja vu that we are feeling and sensing right now, is that of the cases that were brought to our office related to what we call looting, burglary cases, if you will, there are about 300 of them that were brought for review, and 90% of those cases were approved for charges. So those cases right now are working their way through the court system, but reminding people that the court system has now just started getting back up to functioning when the courts reopened on July 6th.
Okay, I want to keep my attention on what happened 2 days ago, but let's just talk about what happened a few months ago. So after all of that, only 300 cases were brought. I don't know, maybe that's a big number, but 300 is the number of cases for which charges were brought against people vandalizing the city?
Felony cases, yes.
Felony
there were
cases.
About 300 felony cases. There were about 1,000 misdemeanor arrests. And again, it's important for me to remind people, police can direct file misdemeanor arrests. They do. And then there were about 1,000 city ordinance violations.
Right.
And what a city ordinance violation is, you were out past curfew. Like you have broken a city law as opposed to a state law. So there were 2,000 cases that were either misdemeanor or city ordinances and 300, which were felony cases related to the property damage and looting that we saw.
What has happened to those 2,000 people?
So of the 2,000, the 1,000 that are city ordinance violations, the city of Chicago's law department will be handling those cases. Of the misdemeanor cases, there is a subset of those cases in which we have said that we are not going to prosecute if it's just related to peaceful protests. So curfew violation, failure to disperse, being on state-supported land, which then that's about 500. The additional 500 are still working their way through the court system.
State Attorney Fox, it's Steve Bertrand in the newsroom. You might not have this data, but do you have information of anyone who was arrested in May having been arrested this week? I mean, are there repeat offenders between these two offenses that you know of?
Steve, I don't have that information for you. What I can tell you is that in looking at who's been arrested since Sunday night through yesterday morning, there have been about 13 burglary, what we would call looting cases, that have come through for felony approval. All 13 of those cases have come through, and that was this morning. Yesterday, there were three cases that came through bond court. We also saw two aggravated batteries to a police officer that we approved, as well as a resisting arrest and a UUW.
One of those charges, I think, with the battery of a police officer is someone named, is it Demisk Lomax? Are you familiar with his case?
I'd have to look, but
sure,
I'm not.
I understand why you wouldn't be with everyone, but CWB Chicago, a website that covers crime and police issues, wrote about his court appearance yesterday. They say he's 25, was charged with felony aggravated battery of a police officer, criminal damage to property, resisting police, and they said that he would likely be charged with a looting-related crime a little bit later. And his bond was posted at $500. Mm-hmm. So he posted out. Is that a typical bond? Is that how it works?
So as a reminder, Steve, judges set bail. Yeah. Prosecutors don't set bail. We can make recommendations, but ultimately a judge. And a judge has to look at this person's background, the nature of the offense. And the Constitution says that they have to make a bail that is affordable. So I don't know the full history of this man's background to assess whether that was an appropriate bail for the judge, but those are the considerations that they're supposed to make.
So aside from, I mean, I'm sure the seriousness of the crime weighs into it, but affordability does as well.
And I think there's a lot of confusion with people around conversations with bail. It is a constitutional right that people are not given excessive fines or fees, that they are not unlawfully detained. Like, there are things within the Constitution that dictates how judges are supposed to go about the criminal court process. And one of those is related to bail. And I think so many people hear when we have conversations about bail reform that it feels like a policy that's not rooted in law. And what happened was that we were using bail, excessive bail, deviating from the Constitution for so long that it became the norm. Cook County was actually sued a couple years ago, back in 2016, because of those practices. And what you've seen in the last several years has been trying to remedy that. But the having to set an accessible bail is constitutionally rooted. Now, some people should not have bail at all, people who pose a threat to the public or are a flight risk. And those people you will see given no bail.
Well, I'm okay with that in that case. Are you telling us then that maybe you or your office are being unfairly criticized for these two series of crime sprees?
What I'm saying is I understand that people are frustrated and all of the adjectives that you use to open the segment. You know, it's maddening, it's frightening, and people want answers. And I think in the immediacy of this, when we're watching these horrific things before our eyes, we want to be able to have a quick answer. And the issue is there's a process that's at play here. As I said in the press conference yesterday, we're the last responders. We cannot charge a case unless a police officer brings it to us. And we want to make ourselves ready and available to review those cases and charge where appropriate. But I do think there's been a big misperception about the fact that we see so many people out there, we see this horrible thing, why isn't the prosecutor doing anything? And there's a step in the middle that we have to talk about.
The mayor did everything but name you yesterday in talking about this. And I know you spoke with her on the phone later in the day. How did that go?
It went fine. I mean, the mayor and I have known each other before she was the mayor, before I was the state's attorney, and we have a shared commitment to keeping our community safe. The mayor is frustrated like the rest of us about what we're seeing. But as I'm telling you all and I shared with her, our office can only prosecute cases that are brought to us by the police. And we want to work with them to be able to do that. But we have to be honest about where we stand. And I think for people thinking, like if they said 100 people were arrested overnight, the assumption is that 100 cases came to our office for review, and that's simply not the case. Of the felony cases that came to us for review, we reviewed them and we charged them. Whether they were misdemeanors that were direct filed or some other type of city ordinance that was filed. I think people have conflated that and then assumed that it's the prosecutor's office who hasn't done that.
Well, did you
it's
implore,
a complicated...
Did you ask the mayor to say something like that? Because she and Superintendent Brown told reporters, I'm reading from the Sun-Times, we heard it here on this radio station, the looting Sunday night and early Monday was the work of looters emboldened by no consequences in the criminal system. And the mayor had words along those lines as well, that there's no consequences for that. What do you say to them, privately or publicly, when they put it on you?
You know, it's really not about me. I think it's about the system as a whole. And I think if we're not clear about how the process works, it then feels like finger-pointing and blaming.
It was.
The reality,
it is. Lori Lightfoot, she knows how it works.
Yeah.
She knows how it works.
But she also knows that, you know, her city is incredibly stressed right now. But the truth is, those cases that are still in the system from May and June are working their way through the system. And so this notion of consequences, where many of these people have not even yet had their first day in court, that's a function of our court system having been down in COVID, but also now ramping up. But also, if you are an observer of the courts here in Cook County, these cases aren't resolved in 2 months. And so I think the frustration at the time, and I think the horror that we have seen, is what resulted in the rhetoric that we heard yesterday.
Okay, so,
and this isn't to be defensive. This is to be, let's be honest with the people that we serve so that we can work towards solutions.
Well, I'd like to think the mayor is being honest, but clearly the two of you are looking at this elephant from different sides. It's a 10:44. I need to pause. And I want to talk to you briefly about what the Chicago Tribune said about your office versus your predecessors. And you also threw a number at us. I think it was 13 felony charges against people yesterday. I want to know how we're going to be able to keep score on those people, because I want something to happen to them. It's 10:45. Kim Fox is on the 10:48 on WGN on the Team Hochberg phone line. State's Attorney Kim Fox is answering our questions about what happened yesterday or the day before, early in the morning, the looting that took place, and what sort of justice is going to be brought to Chicago. Kim, would you just address that number that I heard you talk about? How many people are facing felony charges as a result of what happened 2 days ago?
So far, there are, if I add all those numbers up, about 20.
I'm surprised it's not more. Is that a function of not enough arrests being made, or are more people going to be charged with felony crimes?
I would imagine that they are still reviewing the cases. A lot of this hinges on, because you saw so many people out there, the ability to be able to connect the people with the crime. And so right now there's a lot of video that's being reviewed, whether it's video from the stores, pod videos from the streets. So just because an arrest may not have been made yet, it doesn't mean that the investigation isn't ongoing. And I would suspect that there will be more.
Is it fair for your office to say, hey, if you want more arrests or more prosecutions or convictions, then the police need to do a better job of stopping these people and gathering the appropriate evidence for our office? Is that a fair statement, or one you want to make?
I think the fair statement is that we work collaboratively with the police, and it is our ability to do our job well requires the police to make arrests and gather evidence and get that to us in a timely manner.
Yeah, you know, and I know John wants to talk about the Tribune article, but this came up yesterday and it just occurred to me again. We've not heard from you anger, or you talked about sadness yesterday, but you did. The typical prosecutor is going to come out and say, we are going to put these people in jail. We're gonna see justice done. Lori Lightfoot said, we are coming after you. And that hasn't been your tone. And I just wonder if that is intentional.
I don't know that that's ever my tone. I think what we are seeing is my heart is broken. And the reality is that we can arrest and charge and prosecute as many of those people who were out there Sunday night. What I don't want to have happen is next month, the next batch of folks do this. And I don't know that I subscribe to the deterrent effect, because what we've seen this year seems very little is moving towards that deterrent effect.
But
and so as someone who grew up here, as someone who has seen a lot of the root causes issues, and we don't like to talk about the root causes piece because it feels so big and intractable, and I want answers now. We're going to keep having these conversations, Steve, because the next batch of young people who take to the neighborhoods are going to come. And so that's why I don't subscribe to punching tables and pointing fingers. I want to get to solutions so that we can hold people accountable for what happened and prevent the next wave of this from happening.
That's hard to sell, isn't it?
I mean, people are angry and scared, and so we want immediate fixes. And that righteous anger that we feel for people tearing up our city and breaking into our buildings, especially now, is really palpable. But we were here 4 years ago. We with the Mag Mile, not to the degree that we're seeing now. We're in extraordinary circumstances right now. But the outrage in the streets was 4 years ago. I'm not old enough to have been here during the Watts or the riot.
I'm not either. But Ken, but the idea is that because you have this attitude of you are looking for deterrent and you don't think being super tough is a deterrent. Look what happened in May and look what happened in August. People feel that it is the lack of that anger the stick. Rather than the carrot, it's that attitude that is empowering.
John, that
is empowering these people.
John, let's be clear. We have to have an honest conversation about this. What we saw in May and June and Sunday, unacceptable. But not this is it's patterns. We didn't see this last year. We didn't see it in 18, 17. Since I've been in office, violent crime had been going down. Criminal justice reform and public safety have been working hand in hand. We are in really trying times, unlike anything in our lifetimes. And I hear that. But if the response to people righteously in the streets talking about justice systems that feel oppressive and have these issues is simply to say more policing without addressing those issues, we will be back. And that's not lackadaisical. That's a kid from Cabrini who knows too many people who have died and gone to prison and are out in those streets. We have to be thoughtful because where we are now, some 50 years out of 1968, it should break our hearts just as much as what we saw the other day.
I want to respect that. I want to respect that, Kim, and that's why I say it's hard to sell, because my text line is, does she take any responsibility for the looting we have in our city? Unfairly, maybe, or myopically, maybe.
Yeah.
It's falling on you.
Yeah, but I think we owe a responsibility. The people who were responsible for the looting are the people who were going in those buildings. And once they are arrested and brought to us, we're prosecuting them. It's not about rhetoric. It's not about faulty rhetoric. If it were that easy, Mayor Lightfoot, Superintendent Brown, anger would then mean that we're not going to see this anymore. We're prosecuting the cases that are brought to us. The surprise to many is the number of cases that are brought to us isn't matching what you're seeing on your TV screens. And I understand that frustration. But what I will not do, because I think the people of Chicago deserve better, is play rhetorical games that make us feel good in the moment, but bide our time for the next wave of this if we don't take real action to address what happened the other day.
You said your office has dismissed cases against low-level, nonviolent offenders so you can concentrate on more serious crimes of violence.
Yes.
And do we know, though, if those people that are these low-level offenders are, in fact, the ones who are getting away with it and are looting the stores?
I think it's a leap to make. When I talk about low-level nonviolent offenders, Sean, I talk about the fact that 40% of the cases that come to our office are drug cases. Of that 40%, in a city that's dealing with violent crime in proportions unlike any other major city,
yeah,
we spend a significant portion on people who are possessing drugs, not the drug sellers, possessing drugs. We spend a significant portion of our resources dealing with people who have mental health and homeless issues. When I say I want to focus my attention on people who are shooting, who are causing this damage, who are doing harm, that isn't to say that people with drug addictions aren't doing those things either. But if we did a real examination of the folks that we are arresting, the people we are concerned about the other night, we arrest far fewer of them and far more drug abusers in our and with our resources. I want our community safe, not cycling people through.
I got it, and I'm out of time. I think the thrust of that statement is well made, Kim. I mean, is there any last thing you want us to hear?
Yeah, the last thing I want to hear is our office will hold people accountable when they're brought to us related to these incidents. At the same time, we need a two-pronged approach to this. We can continue to react to what we're seeing in the streets or try to prevent it too. And that takes all of us. That takes community leaders. It takes elected officials. It takes police, philanthropic, corporate, all of us in this together, all hands on deck, not looking for simple solutions, but a long-term sustainable vision for everybody in the city to feel safe.
I'm glad you gave us some of your time today. Thanks for joining us, Kim.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox. WGN Radio News is coming up.